Blog Talk Radio.
Hello from the oven. Hello from the other side.
Channeling Eric presents Eric's Hour of Effing Enlightenment.
That little glitch, guys. But welcome to the Hour of Enlightenment with Eric Medhus and Kim Babcock. You guys that are first-timers, newbies on the show, I will say that Eric is my eternally 20-year-old kid who is now a spirit guide. And hopefully he's going to give us some guidance today, as he always does with the blog members and other people. And hey, Kim, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing good. I'm hanging in there through all these storms and crazy amounts of rain. We're hanging in there.
Oh, batting down the hatches, girl. And Eric, how are you doing, my sweetie?
He's like, I'm here, Mom. I'm good. He's blowing kisses. Oh. He always blows kisses with both hands. It's so funny.
He always does that.
I've
he always did that when he was alive, too. That's cool.
Aww.
Anyway, guys, today, hopefully Eric will agree to this, I want, before we take listeners, calls from listeners, Eric, I want you to share what spirits think about humans and the human race, and even what we look like physically.
He goes, he's so funny. You know how you, like, put your hands together if when, like, kind of, this is the picture he's giving. It's kind of like around the time of, like, Halloween. You're like, hoo-hoo-hoo, this is creepy or spooky. And he has his hands,
oh, yeah,
like he's conjuring up something. That's what he's doing with his hands. He's like, ooh, the way
oh,
we
boy.
See humans. So it's almost the feeling of like, are you ready for this? So,
oh, I can just
okay.
see him. I can just see him, yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm ready.
First of all, just remember, you guys, he says, I love you, Mom. And then he changed his tone. He goes, I love you, Mom. Like, he's real serious.
Oh.
So mm-hmm. I hope
I
that you guys
you.
Remember how much he cares about you guys and your journey and your path, because that's why he's here, and that's why we're here doing this show for all of you guys listening, because Eric has the ability to continue to grow and evolve and offer information that he sees can help you guys too. So every Thursday night, we'll gather here on this show, on the blog, on YouTube, and offer as much guidance and wisdom as we can from Eric himself. Tonight, all about Eric's perspective and Spirit's perspective on how they see us and what they think about the way they see us. He says, well, first let's talk about how we see you. What is it? What do you look like? He goes, I know you guys are always wondering, what do we look like? But he goes, trust me, it's way cooler what I get to see. So he's showing what you guys look like to me. He says he sees we see you more as light waves. Like, he's literally showing, like, a dancing color of light. So he's showing, but where you are in your awareness, where you are in your emotional awareness, he says, will determine what you look like or what color you are. He goes, he's like, why'd you say that like a question? Because I didn't say it that way, so why did you say it that way? So, so
you're being called out, Kim.
Yeah, straight up. So, what you guys are experiencing emotionally will determine what color you are, what light you are, or how much light you have, or how much light you share. So, but we see you that way. He says, it's like we see your physical outline. Your shape, the outline of your shape, but we talk more to and through, like, the color, the light, the frequency, rather than the way humans do it. They focus on the physical features and connecting to the physical part when they talk and communicate to each other. So
that makes sense.
He says, from us, we see you basically, he goes, I know this is going to sound all fucked up, he says. But he says, we see you from the inside out. So what
wow.
he means really is like your color, your light, the true light inside you shines out through you. You don't get to see it that way. Not everybody, anyways, he says. But that's how we see you. So he's showing like a vague outline of the physical, the human form, but we're more mm-hmm. focused on the light. That tells us so much more than your physical form.
Are there more than one colors? Like, do you see individual chakra colors? Or is it just like one big aura?
He says you can like zoom in or hone in on a chakra color, but it's more about, he says it's more like one big aura color. So if you're pissed off, frustrated, angry, you're going to emanate a certain color. Or if you're like a server and completely selfless and giving, you're going to emanate a different color than if you were pissed off. So your emotional awareness and where you are in that is what determines your light, your color, and the color that you emanate. That's your vibration, and that creates color. It even creates sound.
Yeah, so when you see Kim, what do you see right now?
He goes,
uh-oh.
Oh, he goes, that bitch is all over the place, and he's just laughing.
Uh-oh.
Because it's been crazy. My kids have been little punks today, just little Neanderthals.
Oh,
love them
boy.
Today. But today's been one of those days where it's like,
yeah.
Man, is it wrong to lock him out of the house today and make him go play outside? But
I know.
You know,
look, I used to have days where I'd think, why in the hell did I have five kids? I should have had five kittens instead. It'd be a lot easier.
I'm glad.
But, what color do you see when you see Kim?
I think that. He goes, well, she's been pretty shifty today. Because, like, earlier I was all soft, and we went to the ice cream shop. So he said she was more blue at that point mm-hmm. in her day. He's just laughing at me.
And then things went south.
He says right now, she looks more yellow. She has more yellow and orange hues. So she has to be, okay. That's interesting. I guess I would have thought it would be the other way around, like violet or something up in the crown chakra to be connected to him. But
yeah,
he's really showing, I guess, for this process, more connected to yellow intuition.
Why is that?
Oh, that's so funny that you asked that, because he answered like right as soon as you said that. He said, because that's where she... Like, that's where she gets her vibration up. So through the solar plexus, through the yellow chakra, that's where mm-hmm. she gets her vibration up, he says, to channel, to do this, to talk to me.
Interesting. What about my colors? And please don't say black or brown or herb green or whatever. Be gentle.
Oh, funny. He says, no, Mom, you are green. Like, you have a lot of green. But it's serving other people, humanitarian, like, selflessness. When you do for other people, you emanate that color, like that energy, that vibration. But you also have a lot of blue, too, like a lot of blue-green right now. So you must be very vocal or getting to be or going to be, you know, think about how this correlates with the chakras. That's the awareness that you're in. So
okay. So how else do you see us humans other than physically?
He says he's even showing like, okay, so other than, like, the way you look as far as colors and describing that, he says when you take a look at the bigger picture, and he's kind of like doing a zoom-out image, you begin to see the collective, like a collective vibration. He doesn't want to call it consciousness. That's what it is, but he wants you guys to look at it more of, like, this flow, this energy pattern, this vibration. So he says you can see what patterns people fall into or what vibrations they sync with. Like, kind of like when you think of the term, like, followers or groups of people, communities of people tend to congregate where they feel comfortable, where they're safe, or where they feel needed.
True.
He says you can see how people resonate. He says you can also see, or I can also see, he says, how, so in terms of that, like, being a part of groupthink, you can see what that does to an individual, though. He says you can see it as a group, but you can see the individual in that group and how it's affecting them. For example, if they're denying their truth, their true heart, in being a part of a group with something, like, let's take protesters, for example. The person protesting really doesn't agree, but everybody else is doing it, so they join in too. But it's really going against their heart. You can see the damage that does to them energetically, and their color then, their light, reflects that. It's like it, it's all muddy and shit, he says. Like, their color, their light.
Yeah, I've heard you say that, that sometimes we look muddy.
Yeah, that's what he's kind of showing. He's showing, like, someone can be in something that they're totally passionate about, but having a hard time with that passion or something, or discouraged or whatever. So then they get that red light begins to get all interlaced with, like, this brown, muddy, dim color.
Yeah.
So then he says, besides even that, the energy patterns, the colors that you guys create and emanate. We'll have to do a show on Christmas, on what happens to the vibration, the collective. He loves talking about that. Maybe
good
around
idea.
That time of the year we can do that, because he's saying you should even see what you guys look like at Christmas time. It's different.
Wow.
But he says, I think, Mom, the biggest thing that we pay attention to, and even the hardest thing, he says, is really just having the awareness, having the understanding of, having the understanding of what's happening and why, what you're going through and why. And we even though we have the understanding, you don't, so it's, he's kind of saying it's difficult to watch a loved one go through something in, like, an unawakened state. When they're not awake, they're not aware what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
But
I can imagine.
But he's saying it's not hard in the way that you guys deal with that emotionally. Like, watching a loved one be self-destructive, of course, it breaks your heart, makes you sad and frustrated and feel helpless.
Sure.
He's like, we have the knowing and the understanding of why you're doing what you're doing, but it's still difficult. It's just the difficulty is different. It's a different energy. It's not like what you guys experience. So it's hard to explain. But he says, through the knowing, we can be there to support you and influence your decisions and watch you go through things. But because of the knowing, you know, I guess that's what gets them through, the acceptance, the all-encompassing wisdom, rather than for us, it's very much the opposite. It's we are self-limiting thinkers, he says. So watching people go through that unawakened state is hard. It's tough. You want more for people. I want more for you guys, he says. That's why I'm here. So he's just getting really passionate about and compassionate about watching you guys. And he says, it's really cool, Mom, when you see someone, like, go through a burst of, like, a personal revolution, like a major epiphany, even, if you want to call it that.
I can imagine. Yeah.
He's like, your energy field gets huge, and your colors become colors that they've never been before, or you begin to emanate light you've never had before or given off before. So there's so many different phases as to what we see and how we see it, but also the understanding. It's like watching a movie, Mom, all the time. It's constant entertainment, he says.
We ought to sell tickets to the spirit realm, I'm telling you.
You're so funny.
We could get rid of our the U.S. debt.
So funny. He says, but it's entertainment that I can be a part of. So, you know, sit back and watch a movie. It's already done. It's there in front of you. He says, but now, in this way, I can be a part of it. I can influence. It's like a lucid dream. I know I'm a part of it, so I can change any part of it. I can intervene, he says.
That must be so cool. So you're like the director of this play that we're playing on Earth, or one of the directors.
He shrugged his shoulders, and he's like, he does this really quick little nod, and he's like, yeah, pretty much, one of them, one of many. We're
okay.
All directors.
So what do you think of, what is the spirit, you know, the spirit world's perception of the human race as a collective?
He says, as a collective, he says, to look and judge and give an opinion, the energy is, if I were to say one more than the other, he says, more self-destructive than not. Like, more self-destructive than love. He says, it's pretty close, Mom. It's a he says, it's a close race. There's more self-destruction than construction.
That's so disappointing. So maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe we need to implode a little bit in order to come back like Phoenix from the ashes and grow.
Well,
is that our grand scheme?
Yeah, and that term that you use is what he was showing too. Like that implosion, that he says, think about it. Everybody, every good thing, not every good thing, he says, but just follow me for a minute in thought. Almost every good thing, every good experience is preceded by something difficult or what you guys would call something bad, something like a struggle. And then you come
mm-hmm.
out, you know, on top with this looking, you know, in hindsight, you're looking back going, oh, wow, I really did grow from that. I really did, you know, take good away from that situation. So
but that's
have
a choice.
Right. He says you have to be willing to grow from your own personal damage. Everybody does it to themselves. It's until they wake up and realize you don't really have to, until they wake up, he says, when you truly become conscious, then that self-destruction stops and acceptance prevails. He says, but we're not there yet. As a whole, we're not there yet.
Are we going to get there?
In time, he says, you will. But he says, we have to master it. When we master it at the level of self, then it naturally feeds the collective. And then we master it as a whole, he says. So when we stop criticizing ourselves, hating ourselves, comparing, judging, so on and so on, he says, and that's the hard shit to watch, then that naturally transmutes the whole, the collective. So, again, you have to start from here, from the inside, he says, and then let that feed everything outside of you.
Interesting.
So
anything else
he's like,
you see about the human race?
Yeah, he's like, so it's pretty much just like watching a show, watching a circus. It's all over
a
the place.
A horror show. It's a horror show mixed with a circus.
Yeah, right. He says, but that's why I'm here. That's why there's guides. That's why there's intuits that can help and be those bridges, he says. So you guys, when you really feel lost and you feel like you're blind and you can't see, there's always someone willing to help. You just have to trust
Thank
yourself
God.
Enough to trust the help.
Yeah,
so,
we need to trust in our guides. We need to listen to them.
Right.
Listen to our intuition.
Right, exactly. He says, and trust yourself, too. Trust what you know inside you, what you believe
mm-hmm.
because of what you've experienced. So that's where it has to start.
Well, that's where it has to start, and that's where we will end before taking callers. I want to do a shout-out, please, for liveparanormal.com, great radio network. You guys need to check out all their shows. It's because of their good graces that we have Channeling Eric Radio, the Hour of Enlightenment. So thank you, liveparanormal.com. So, Eric, you and Kim ready for callers?
We are. He says, let's do this. He's rubbing his hands together.
Right,
like, like if it's cold out, he's rubbing his hands together to warm him up. Let's do it.
All right. Hey there. Somebody from the 302 area code. Welcome to the show.
Hello there, Alisa.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, hello, Kim.
Hey.
Hello, Eric. Hello.
Welcome.
I love you guys so much. Thank you.
So who are we talking to?
You guys?
What's your first name?
Olivia.
Olivia.
Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I wanted to ask Eric, two-part question, I guess. My first question is, I've been experiencing some heart palpitations, and I have gone to a doctor who actually did an extensive tests on me, but he couldn't find anything. And as a matter of fact, he stated that my heart was in perfect condition. And I'm not sure what's going on, like why I have these heart palpitations. Sometimes I feel like I'm having a heart attack or I'm just going to drop dead or something.
Aw. This is what Eric is showing. First of all, he said when you first started talking, all the energy, because I always have him talk or communicate clairvoyantly, because for me that's the fastest. So all the energy dropped down into the sacral chakra, into the orange center. And so he said emotions. We need to talk about the emotions, and there's a connection to a female. I don't know if it's like a sister, a close friend, or even like a child. There's some emotional issues, emotional attachments to a female, a close female in your life. Okay? Sorry, go ahead. I keep interrupting you.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, actually, when you said child, which is my daughter, my heart started palpitating.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is what he showed. All the energy went down to the orange. He said the energy is really heavy here. We need to talk about this. We need to look at it. So that's where he started to reference, before you mentioned, heart palpitations. And then when you said heart palpitations, I looked at him and I said, well, she's experiencing stuff in the heart. How could it be coming from the sacral chakra? That's a whole different place of the body.
Yeah.
He said, no. What is happening at that energy center, at the sacral chakra, you're carrying on your heart. So the emotions are tied. This is where he was tying in the emotions to female, close female energy in your life. There's something going on that's bothering you, or that you're worried about, that is affecting your emotions so much, you're carrying it on your heart, and that's what's causing these palpitations. Like these, now I'm not a doctor, I'm not diagnosing, but I'm just showing from what Eric is showing, those emotional connections and ties with this female energy is what's causing that disturbance, like that interruption, that flow, disruptive.
So what can she do? What does she need to do?
Work it out. He says you need to address your your fears or the way you're worrying, and you need to look at how you're carrying. You know, so for example, if you're naturally just a worrier and you just worry about her all the time, you need to figure out why. What is the fear that you're carrying? Or if there's something in particular that she's done or that's happened that you continue to carry emotionally, you need to address that, so that you don't continue to carry this. He says, but don't worry. It's very mild. It's not like you're going to have a heart attack. That's what he said. Like, it's really not.
Oh, that's comforting.
It's like,
all right, so just basically work things out with your daughter.
Okay.
Or
okay.
With yourself.
Yeah.
Well,
that makes sense?
That makes perfect sense. She's across. I'm on the East Coast, and she's on the West Coast right now. And she moved in with her father, and we haven't spoken for 3 years now, 3 or 4 years.
Oh wow!
She's about to turn 21, so we had a huge falling out, and I miss her. I miss her a lot, and I felt like you know, even though she's here physically, I felt like, you know, I lost a daughter. So
that's so how really she, how should she connect to her daughter, Eric?
He says, first work on your despair and work on your grief, because if you don't dissolve that personally, you won't be able to even be in like a clean, clear place to reach out to her. So you need to work on that with yourself first, and then when you feel ready, then you can approach her. And I feel like she seems like she's very, he's showing her being very outgoing, but for all the wrong reasons. I hate to say that.
Yes.
And
yes.
Eric's like,
I
hate to say that too, because there's really no right or wrong, but her personality is like, she's outgoing for all the wrong reasons. So it's like, he says, love yourself for your efforts and what you do, because I think that she's someone that, just in where her soul development is, she may not have the capacity to validate you in your efforts, meaning she might not return your phone calls. She might not reach out to you, because I think that she's just very outgoing, meaning like she's trying to get away. She's trying to be outgoing for, again, all the wrong reasons. And in that, I think she's going to seem very, these are Eric's words, very aloof. With her connections and her family and her friends. So even if she can't reciprocate your love and your efforts, don't let that determine how you reflect on yourself, he says.
Okay.
Sounds good. I hope that helps you, babe.
It does. Thank you so much. And I'm so appreciative of all of you. I can't tell you how much... especially Eric has changed my life. He sends me lots of videos to watch. I've got lots of homework. I've got nothing but love for him and love for both of you so, so very much.
Aww.
So thank you, ladies. Have a great night. Have a great night,
thank
Eric.
You. That means a lot to me. Thank you so much, Olivia.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Family issues, they're so tough.
No kidding.
All right, we have... somebody from the 626 area code. Hi there. How are you doing?
Hello.
What's up?
I'm so excited to be here.
What's up?
You know, it's interesting that you guys are talking about there's like an energy shift in Christmas time, and I've like realized that a couple of years ago when it was around Christmas, and I was speaking to my friend, and I'm like, you know, I don't know why, but I think every time it's Christmas, like, I always feel so much happier. Like, everybody is so much happier.
Everybody seems so nice, you know? People don't cut you off in traffic as much, and they let you into the lane. I mean, it's just, it's nicer. I agree. Hey, what's your first name?
Like the atmosphere. Oh, it's Jacqueline.
Jacqueline, okay. What you got for Eric?
Okay, so... I need some, okay, well, I kind of have, like, two questions.
We try to just do one question for each person. Otherwise,
that's
we don't get as many on. But you could call next time.
Sure. So I have a question about channeling, and, like, when I would channel, I think I kind of have, like, a major fear of, like, negative entities responding and, like, scaring me, because I think that's happened to me before. So every time I channel, there's also tons of self-doubt. So it's not just like, oh my God, like who's going to answer me this time? And I do ask for protection now, but also it's me wondering if I'm channeling right. So when I do channel wrong, then I'm like, oh man, like I can't do it. Like I don't know how to do this. And
I think all channelers
All channelers definitely go through that. But first, you know, one thing that I can share personally is that, you know, if this is something you're going to do, state your intentions from the very beginning, that you're only going to open yourself up to this kind of work, this kind of experience, for the highest good of everybody that will come in the path of it. You, your clients, or anybody else affected by your channeling. So understand, and this is something that Eric taught me that I think is really profound, understand when you state your intentions, whether it's stating an intention, he says, or sending out like a prayer, mantra, whatever, energetically, he's like, it's all the same, and you only need to say it once to basically put it into existence. It's there. Energy is immortal. So it's not like if you forget, then you're unprotected or, you know, anything
to
that effect. So state your intentions from the beginning, what you want from this. He says, get rid of your fear, because your fear just creates those experiences. It's not like, don't take this offensively, but he says it's not like the boogeyman just waiting to jump on you. He says it's not like the boogeyman or any other like negative entity is just waiting to jump on you as soon as you decide to open up the channel. But rather, your fear creates those experiences. It creates illusions, and you know, as soon as you feed into it, it can make you very sick. So anyway.
So Eric, how is she doing on her channeling?
She's good at listening and hearing, but she's not good at trusting what she hears, like trusting the experience. We all go through that. And he says, the more you let go of, am I right or wrong? Is the information accurate or not? When you give yourself even permission to be wrong, he says, then you're going to find yourself be right 99% of the time, because that fear of being wrong creates a filter that is hard to see through, hard to hear through. So when you release that, you basically kind of release the filter. You create your own clarity, so to speak. So he says release that fear again about being wrong, or is the information accurate. He says remember, there's a time and place for everything. So even if you don't understand what's coming through, or your client, write a note, make a note, write it down, because, I mean, even Eric is notorious for bringing up information that is a future reference. So people are often like, well, I don't know what that means. A couple months later, they'll send an email and go, oh, my God, I know what Eric was talking about. It just happened. So
exactly. I've had that personally happen to me. Exactly.
Yeah. Spirit won't waste energy. They won't waste, you know, to make that connection, they won't waste anything. Nothing's wasted. There's use and value for all of it, he says. So state your intentions, and he says begin to acknowledge what channels you work best through and sharpen those. Like if it's clairaudience, which he says seems to be pretty strong for you, clairvoyance, clairsentience, work on just one or two to really strengthen them, and then, you know, develop awareness in the others. So,
okay.
Sounds good.
I hope that helps.
Does that help you?
Yeah, it does help. Thank you.
Good. You're
you
welcome.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
Thanks so much. Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, 720 area code. Let's see who's here. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, this is Suzanne.
Hey, Suzanne.
Hi.
How
you
doing? Yeah,
I'm
we
not
hear
too
you.
Bad. This is really interesting because my question is about energy, too. So when I had a Reiki session done on me, she said that I had the biggest energy ever and that she'd ever felt. And I'm wondering if I'm going through ascension symptoms right now.
Okay. Lisa, I didn't hear her question. Can you or her repeat
she's
it?
Wondering
maybe?
Yeah, she's wondering if she's going through ascension symptoms right now, because the Reiki person that worked on her said that she had very big energy.
Oh, gotcha.
And that she thought that I was possibly past life royalty or something like that, but I don't know.
And maybe past life royalty. So, Eric, what you got to say to her?
He says, okay, he wants you to take a different – he goes, here – here, look through my binoculars, he says. So he's having you look at yourself, but through his eyes. He says, okay, think of yourself, instead of, like, ascension, yes, vibrational shifts are occurring. Higher frequencies encompass more, plain and simple. He says higher frequencies can't, when it comes to awareness, okay, we should add that. He says that piece is really important. When it comes to awareness, higher frequencies are aware of more. so that the more you raise your frequency, your vibration, you expand, okay? So it's not just about, like, ascending. He says don't picture it or think about it so much as going up, which, yes, that's what's happening, but the more important thing I want you to focus on, he says, is the expansion. That's probably why you felt so big to her. And I don't know if you guys remember, I always tell people, too, like, Eric feels so big right now. There's times where he feels so expansive, so big, it's almost overwhelming. So it's kind of, it's very similar. The more you grow, the more you expand your awareness. And you do that through raising your vibration. So when it comes to past life royalties, he's like, you know, past lives are great for one thing, curing ailments. Everything else is like, does it matter? Does it affect this life? Not really. He's like, but if you have ailments that you just can't figure out, then you should take a look at your past life. But he wants you guys to remember how important this life is, this physical experience, and how much value. It's like a treasure, he says. There's so much value here.
Well, because I have had, like, my hands burning, and I can sense ghosts, and I can look outside, and I can see the energy, like, something's going to happen. And also, when shock and awe went up, I felt it energetically. Just as soon as it, so I
did you say something about ghosts?
Yes.
Okay, because Eric said ghost. Did you say ghost? He's like, that's like a cuss word to me. He's like, there's no ghost. That's their energy. But what he's saying to you is, he says to look up divine alchemy, like divine alchemy. when you talk about burning in your hands, look up divine alchemy. When your vibration shifts, your physical body has to adjust. And you're going to feel it. You're going to feel those symptoms one way or another, he says. So he wants you to kind of focus your attention on that, on what divine alchemy is and how, because I think you're going to look back and collect memories and experiences going, oh, yeah, man, I've felt that. I've been through that. So you can look at how alchemy is, divine alchemy is changing or taking place, and having the awareness of that is pretty cool, he says.
Okay. Well, you got some homework cut out for you, Suzanne. You got some homework to do.
Thank you.
And there'll be a pop quiz for you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. Really appreciate
it. You're welcome.
You bet.
I'm gonna
thanks for calling.
Eric, why that word is like a cuss word to him, ghost.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
he's like, well, there's no such thing as ghosts. Ghosts are like this, they're like this belief. He's like just rambling. It's like there's this, it's a belief that, you know, this soul is hanging around just to be creepy or freak people out, but it doesn't have purpose and so on. He's like, no, it's a huge misunderstanding. It's an illusion, he says, like the belief.
Okay. No more ghost stories then. All right, another shout-out I want to make to liveparanormal.com. My station ID requirements for them. Check them out, guys. They're great. They really are great. All right, so let me see here. We got somebody from the 910 area code. Oh, I'm not clicking on this person for the second time. Hi there, how are you doing?
Hi. Hey, Kim.
Who's
hey,
this?
Lisa.
Hi.
This is Carolyn from North Carolina.
Hey,
oh, cool.
Carolyn from North Carolina. Hey, my daughter's and her husband are moving from North Carolina back to Houston.
Oh, yeah, where
in
were
just
they
like
from?
A couple of weeks, so they just found their forever home today and signed on it, so they're really happy.
Aww.
Nice.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
I'd rather live in North Carolina than the meteorological armpit of America over here. But anyway, what you got for Eric?
Oh, my. All right, well, I'm an artist. That's actually how I found Eric. I made this sketch of this that's not something I did. It kind of came out. Then I seemed to find him staring back at me on YouTube one day in a completely unrelated area. So that's how I stumbled upon him. There's always been some weird stuff with this art, and kind of struggling, like, what am I supposed to be doing with this? I ago now, I believe that there's some kind of spiritual reason that I'm doing this, because it's kind of weird art, you know, like I'm drawing.
Do you think you're channeling it?
Passed away
you
young
man
that I've never met, you know. I'm sorry,
so
what?
Do you think you are channeling your art?
Oh, for sure. I don't really. I had a psychic one time tell me that she could see energy just pouring out of it. She told me to always be mindful of the state I was in when I am creating it, because it goes on. And I take that pretty seriously. You know, I do a lot of praying, and I just try to stay out of the way, because I mess things up. But when I just, you know, follow the clues, you know, it turns out pretty cool. So, but it's kind of weird, you know, it's not for everybody. And, you know, it's like everything in my life's been stripped away except this art. And I'm just like, okay, but what am I supposed to be, what am I doing here?
What do you have for her, Eric?
This is what Eric is saying. He's like, she makes pictures. She makes cool pictures. He's like talking about pictures somehow. So if it's drawing, painting, whatever. He says, think about it like this. You guys, he says, you've always heard me say everybody's just channeling. Everybody's channeling in their own way, whether it's literally like Kim does, or like a pianist, or a musician, a singer, a painter. He goes, you get my drift? Everybody's channeling. They're channeling, and they're projecting and sharing who they are, what they are, what they're connecting to. So now what do you do with it? He's like, yeah, of course you're channeling. But what do you do with it? He says, it's a meditation that you teach. So he says, don't limit yourself don't weird yourself out by your own thoughts, and don't have yourself convinced that others are going to be weirded out by your work, because I think it's going to be quite the opposite. He's showing you being well received because it's like teaching a meditation. It's not so much about what comes out in the picture as it is the process that creates the picture. That's what
so are you saying
people.
Are you saying, Eric, that she should be a teacher that teaches people how to meditate through art?
Right. And he says that she already said it. She wasn't conscious of it at the moment. Like, it's about the process and getting out of your own way to allow it to occur. That's the meditation piece. And then when you can show people, because he says when you do that and you let the energy flow through you, he says, when you can truly get out of your own way, 99% of the time people are going to look at it and go, wow, I had no idea I had that in me. Doesn't mean it's impressive. It might be wacky or funky or something totally unexpected. And that's how you know you're meditating, you're channeling, you're in a different, like a super conscious state where it's just above the human self, or expanded beyond, rather, the human self, he says. So I think it's going to be more about the meditation that you're going to help people, like, achieve. Someone vents to you and expresses how shitty their day was. Say, come here, let me show you something. Come to my place and let me show you something. How cool is it to get away from all that by doing this? You know, and then I think that you just get the ball rolling with that, because he's showing you, teaching people how to meditate through this channel. Through this art.
Have you ever heard of the artist Michelle Cassou and her Point Zero ideology, as far as painting being just a process that you can't look at the end result? You should check out her book.
I have not
Point
heard
Zero.
Of her name, but I
yeah Michelle
I read
Cassou.
A book that
it's M I C H. Yeah, it's M-I-C-H-E-L-E, and then Cassou is C-A-S-S-O-U. What is your website so we can look at your art?
I am menageriedesignstudio.com.
Okay, we'll check it out.
Oh, cool.
Definitely. Okay, well, I hope
that helps you. But he says, no more self-limiting thoughts about what people are going to think. You're just getting inside your own head about, you know, the judgments, because I think it's going to be better received than you anticipate. But it's about the process. It's about the energy you share in the process in teaching. That's what builds the foundation, he says. So
okay.
I hope that helps
awesome.
You.
Awesome.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
All right.
Bye. Okay, let me see here. I got lost here. In the line. Hang on, people. Let's see. Here's one from the 828 area code. Hi there. How are you?
Hey.
Hey, what's your first name?
Donna.
Welcome,
hey, Donna.
Donna.
What's up? What you got?
Hey, girls. Hey, Eric. I have a very, very sick dog, and I don't know what to do for her.
Oh, little. Oh.
Tough situation.
What's going on, Eric?
There's something with dehydration. It seems like either the dog is already dehydrated or has some sort of disease or inability to properly absorb, but like the body to properly absorb hydration. So that leads to all kinds of illness and ailments. So it seems like there's multiple things going on at the systemic level. It's not just like an acute thing anymore.
Because dogs can get gastric stasis, where they get so dehydrated that their gut doesn't work very well, and so they don't absorb fluid very well. And so what you have to do is hydrate them. A lot of times the vets will pour fluids in their tissues. It's called chlysis. Or they'll give them IV fluids. And, you know, if you get really dehydrated, they can get into renal failure, kidney failure. So,
gosh. Elisa, this is going to sound so ignorant on my part, but it's okay. Can dogs get, I don't know if you know this, can they get diabetes? And then does diabetes have anything to do with hydration levels? Would it affect
that?
Oh,
sure. Yeah, if anybody who gets diabetes, they pee a lot. And they also drink a lot, but they pee more than they drink, so they get dehydrated.
Oh, wow. Because I feel like he wants me to talk about that for some reason. So,
or there's something called diabetes insipidus. There's something called diabetes insipidus that has to do with the, you know, antidiuretic hormone. It's complicated. So there's two types of diabetes, the diabetes mellitus, which is the sugar thing, and there's diabetes insipidus, which is the
aldosterone
axis.
What Eric is saying is, I feel like he says the animal's quality of life is deteriorating quickly. So, as hard as it is, he says, be very mindful of that. And again, as hard as it is, be willing to be responsible enough to put your own needs and wants aside and do what's best for the quality of life for the animal. Because it seems like the health, there's something going on with the eyes too. I don't know if the animal's blind or has like an eye disease or what's going on with the eyes. Do you know why he points them out? Maybe just watch out for that. But he says, be willing to make appropriate adjustments if the health doesn't improve, because it just seems like it's a quick deterioration. And although sometimes because of our own, you know, sorrows, we just prolong their misery because we want to keep them near. But he says, just be very mindful and be willing to adjust if quality of life doesn't improve. He says the easiest ways to tell if quality of life is sacrificed or compromised in some way is to look at their diet. Are they eating okay? Maintaining their weight okay?
Mm.
And peeing and pooping okay? He says if they have that balanced intake and output, then you're probably safe. But he says when that's affected and when that's not regular, you've got a lot going on that he says it's time to really take a look at some of your decisions.
Changed all of her food. She's been to, I don't know how many vets. It's been a year. And
oh, gosh.
Holistic vets.
Have they checked her for diabetes and diabetes insipidus?
They checked her kidneys, said her kidneys were fine. But she.
Well, they need to check more than that.
Eating, drinking. And, well, they did.
They need to do a full panel
all the
on
tests.
Her.
Well, she's really sick, so they keep saying, well, we need, is she up on her vaccines? And I'm like, well, if you give her vaccines, as sick as she is, you're going to kill her. And we can't see her unless she's up on her vaccines. So it's a catch-22.
Oh, no, that's awful.
Is there a vet?
Ridiculous.
Does Eric know a vet that I can that has some sense?
That's crazy.
Like,
that makes no sense.
Yeah, he makes me feel like, oh gosh, it's so hard. I don't think that's an option as far as like actually testing though for all of these illnesses. He just says it's not an option. It's gonna be. I hate to say this, but he says it's going to be a matter of life or death. Do I continue to sustain life, or do I help the animal pass with peace, dignity, and little suffering as possible?
She's better because I switched her food and all this. She's better than she was. She was going into shock like 30 times a day.
Oh, that's shattering.
But she's better than that. She's not going in shock anymore, and she eats. She's keeping her weight. She plays. She's everything. She's doing
well,
great.
Well, maybe she's ready for the vaccines. She might be ready for the vaccines, and then she can be properly taken care of.
But she's still got the main problem is the mouth ulcers, the bleeding mouth ulcers.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We'll pray for her, and, you know, she could have ulcers all through her GI tract. There's something called Behçet's syndrome that I don't know if dogs get, but you can have ulcers in your mouth, your esophagus, and all through your GI tract, and that can impede your ability to absorb nutrients and fluid and everything. So, but I really don't, I'm not
a vet,
so
I
don't know.
What would she need if that were the case, though? Because I've done a round of probiotics and everything.
I don't know. I don't really know what they would do for a dog with that. I really don't. I'm not sure. But anyway,
yeah,
I hope that helps you. Otherwise, we're going to be sending prayers. Everybody send prayers to that puppy, okay?
Right. That's right. Be mindful, as mindful as you can for her quality of life, and hopefully you'll have the strength to make the right decisions when the time is right. It sounds like, boy, some of it's pretty intense. So I wish nothing but the best for both of you.
Thank you, girls. Thank you, Eric.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's
okay, I don't think we have time for another caller. So I just want to remind everybody they can join us on our blog, channelingeric.com, and Eric's spelled with a K. You can check out our YouTube channel, the Channeling Eric YouTube channel. And, Kim, what have you got to tell the folks out there?
That's right. You guys can check out my services and what I'm all about, what I do on my website at kimbabcock.net. And that's where you can find my new book called Inside Out. It's a journey to inner peace to help you overcome no matter what you're going through to sustain peace. So I thank you guys so much for listening. It's always such a pleasure to be here and connect with you guys, and I truly hope that Eric's guidance and information continues to inspire you guys in new ways. So thank you so much. I hope you guys have an awesome weekend.
Hey, Eric, thank you. And Kim, thank you. I love you, Eric.
Because I love you, Mom.
And Kim, I hope you have an easier evening.
Thank you. I will. I think the kiddos have settled down. They're nice and quiet now, so it'll be a good night.
Awesome. Okay, bye everybody,
right.
And thank you again to liveparanormal.com.
Bye-bye.
Bye.